for Israel's restoration. And I've got witnesses. People that saw it. Now, you remember, just to make the illustration clear, remember when John on the Isle of Patmos, he wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit the Revelation? Remember that? He saw that, didn't he? He said, I saw. And the prophets, what was the, anybody know the nickname or the kind of one of the titles that the Bible would give the prophets? They were called seers. Seers. He's a seer. Because God shows him things. God shows us things in the Word of God, right? So today, you will be my prophet witnesses, okay? And I'm not always good at keeping track of this, but I'll do the best I can. Brother Gonzalez, you are now Isaiah. Amen? That's a good one to be. And your son is going to be Jeremiah. Okay? Let's see. Linda, you want to be Ezekiel? Good. Linda can be Ezekiel. Okay. Brother McMahon, I'm going to let you and Dell share a prophet. You're going to be Daniel, okay? Okay? And Brother Dahlman, you're going to be Hosea. Okay? Okay, and Mrs. Marinaccio, I'm going to let you be Joel. There are no female prophets in this list. I'm sorry to tell you that. Okay? And I'm going to let your husband be Amos. Okay? Okay, let me see if I'm going to have enough prophets here. Oh, I got plenty. Okay. Mark Hall, you're going to be Obadiah. Okay? And John, you're going to be Micah. Okay, Deborah, you're going to be Habakkuk. I'll tell you all again if you forget. Mr. Hill, you're going to be Zephaniah. Okay, and he's getting the Bible, okay? Now, Odin, you're going to be Haggai. Can you be Haggai? Okay. I'll tell you what to do in a minute. Okay, let me see now. Sound booth. Mr. Jansen, can you be Zechariah? Okay. And I need one more. I'll be Malachi. Okay, I'll be Malachi. All right. Okay, so I'm on page 21 in the little book if you want to know what to read. And I will direct you. You got a pretty long passage there, so I may have to kind of shorten what you read just a little bit for the sake of time. He's going to read, I'm going to have your son or your grandson read Haggai, and I'll tell you which passage in a minute, okay, but you're Haggai. Okay, now, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 witnesses. What did they see? They saw the future. And what did they see in the future? They saw Israel restored. Now, just in case you don't understand, I've given you all but two of the Old Testament prophets. Jonah does not talk about this topic, and there's one other one, and I forgot which one it is, but we'll see it in a minute. But all the rest of them talk about this. Nahum is the other one that doesn't talk about it. Jonah and Nahum don't talk about this. Every other Old Testament prophet saw this. And some New Testament people saw it as well. And you say, well, what's the big deal? Okay? Here's the big deal. Just a couple of examples. There's a fellow named John Shepherd on page 20 in your book if you want to read along with me. He is a Catholic apologist. If you don't know what an apologist is, an apologist is someone who defends doctrine. Apologetics is a study of the defense of the truth of the Bible as if it needs to be defended. Some famous man a long time ago said, the Bible is like a lion. You don't defend it, you just turn it loose. And he had a postcard that he would use that had a lion on the front that represented the Bible. but anyway, an apologist is someone like, what is that fellow's name that wrote More Than a Carpenter? Josh McDowell. If you've ever heard of the book by Josh McDowell, More Than a Carpenter, he would consider himself an expert in apologetics. And they just simply put together things to try to prove that something is true. So this fellow is a Catholic apologist, and they do need one. He states this. His name's John Shepherd. He says, this is the Catholic position, by the way. The church is the new Israel. In other words, Israel's gone, church replaced it. Well, we've been talking about this a lot, so I won't say much more about that. But that's in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. John Parsons points out, here's what he says. Replacement theology claims that the church is the new Israel. As the Jews rejected Jesus, God transferred his covenants to the church. Advocates of this theology include the Roman Catholic Church, the United Methodist Church, the Lutheran Church, that's the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, the ELCA, the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Episcopal and the Anglican Church, the Greek Orthodox Church, and the United Church of Christ. They believe that the church replaced Israel. Okay, now we're going to see what the witnesses see in just a minute. Covenant Presbyterian Church of Fort Worth said this, the church is the fulfillment of Israel. Now just to translate that, the promises God made to Abraham, we're going to give those to the church. Okay, well, let's see what you witnesses have seen. So I'm starting on page 21. Okay. Tell us, you are Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 43, I'm going to have you start reading where the underlines are on that on the paper. Have you got that right here? Okay. And let's see what the prophet Isaiah saw. So, brother, would you begin reading there? Just begin reading there in the underlined section. Now, you understand what he's talking about. He's talking about Israel. You have to read a little more context to get that. But have you seen what's happened in the last 100 years? In a little more than that. We were able to visit Israel in the 1990s, and the guide was telling us that back right around the turn of the century in 1900, that most of Israel was owned by, most of the land was owned by Arabs, and that Jewish people who, and I won't get into this, but they've always got a lot of money, and God does that, but anyway, they began buying the land in Israel, and they began to buy it back. And so by the time they declared independence in 47, they owned a whole bunch of it anyway. But isn't it amazing that how many people have gone back to Israel? They call them the diaspora, the dispersed. And they've gone back and they've gone back and they've gone back. Think of some of the nations in history. For example, the Coptics that were in Egypt. They're not there anymore. The Arabs drew them, you know, ran them out. And now Egypt is predominantly populated by Arabs, because they drove the Coptics out. Lots and lots of people have been displaced. Israel, the Israelites, are in the very same land that Abraham was in. That's amazing. You know, statistically, if you look at the nations around the world, that doesn't happen an awful lot. Or the nationalities, I should say. Okay, so Isaiah saw Israel gathered together from the ends of the earth, and they were brought back to the land. And again, I can't read all that for context's sake. Okay, now, Brother Antonio Jr., you are Jeremiah. I could give every one of us here a measuring stick, and you can start trying to measure the foundations of the earth. You will not succeed. It's impossible. And so he's saying it's impossible that God would cast off the seed of Israel. Now, in Jeremiah's day, would you agree the seed of Israel is Israel? Okay? Keep reading. All right, thank you, Jeremiah. Just a couple of things there. Some of the geography here is not very clear, but we do know the Brook Kidron is a little brook that runs along the side of the city of Jerusalem. And if you ever go there, the Brook Kidron, if I remember correctly, it runs between the city and the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Mount of Olives is right there. So the Brook Kidron's right between the two. And I may have told you this story. We were there, and the guide told me, he said that they had a cemetery right there just outside the wall. And he said that they had put that cemetery there because Jewish people are forbidden to walk across a dead body, and the Arabs had buried a bunch of people there to keep Jesus out of the city. And the question is, well, how's that going to work if he raises them all from the dead? And that won't be a problem, will it? So you're not going to keep the Lord out of the city. The Bible says in Zechariah he's going to walk through there. Ezekiel. Sorry, but it's quite a long passage. But let's go ahead and see what Ezekiel had to say. All right, that's a very convincing testimony Ezekiel gave. Again, I think you understand he's talking about Israel. He's not talking about church. And you start to ask yourself the question, if you didn't understand who Israel was, how could you understand the prophets? Because you have to make everything figurative then, don't you? If it's literal, then the prophets don't make any sense. If you think God's cast Israel off forever, how do you understand the prophets if that's true? Okay, Mr. Daniel McMahon, thy people, that's Israel. And God's going to take care of everything. He's going to fix it all up. And that's a terrible paraphrase, but that's what Daniel saw. Hosea, what did you see? And it was very lush in that day, and they got a lot of lumber from there. And it was a fertile place, a place that grew. All right, let's see what Joel saw. That's interesting because there's a reference there to a statement that's made a couple of times in the Bible. How many of you know who Lester Roloff is? Lester Roloff, okay. I used to be a member of a church in Dallas, Texas. It was Garland, in Garland, actually. It was called Levon Drive Baptist Church, and the pastor's name was Gary Coleman. He started the church in a boat shed, and when we were there from, let me see, 91 until 93, and late 93, and they were running about 1,500 people. And when we went to that church, I walked in on a Sunday morning, and they said, we have visitation on Monday nights, and we joined the church. And so on Monday night, I went on visitation, and the pastor of this church of 1,500 says to me, my visitation partner just moved away from town. You are my new visitation partner. That's exciting. And for a year and a half, I got to go visiting with Gary Coleman and learned a lot from him. And on his desk, he had a handmade plaque that had been made by somebody there in Lester Roloff's ministry in Corpus Christi. And it had this verse on it, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And actually, the direct quote was from Joel. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, is what it says there. Saved, delivered. And that applies to us. But it also applies to Israel. Okay, let's go to Amos. Somebody might say, well, he's just talking about when they came back from the captivity. But that's not true, because in 70 AD, when the Roman general Vespasian, who was sent, well, Titus, who was from the, Vespasian was the emperor at the time, Titus was the general, he came and they destroyed Jerusalem and they took all the Jews slaves and took them away. And another revolt took place in 163 AD, and that's the one, I think it was 163 about, that's the one where they plowed across the city with a yoke of oxen and said, Jerusalem is no more. So you can't say that this is talking about something that happened in the Old Testament, because he says they're going to be there forever. Amen? Okay, let's go ahead and let's see who have I got here. Habakkuk? Oh, who am I got? No, I'm sorry, Micah. Micah. Okay, you need to read a little more than that, context-wise, to understand, but he's talking about Israel. Micah. John, what does Micah have to say? Jacob and Abraham. Why would he mention them if Israel is going to be no more? And why would he mention that promise and the things he said to them? Now, Micah, that's very convincing as well. Okay, Habakkuk. What did Habakkuk say? That's a little bit, again, context-wise, helps you out, but he's talking about Israel. Zephaniah, mystery. And again, just look at the details there, talking about all people of the earth praising Israel. That's not what's happening right now, is it? In fact, there are some people that hate Israel, and I can just tell you this. If you see somebody that hates Israel, you probably got somebody that doesn't know God. And I'm speaking in a passive voice. You definitely have somebody who doesn't know God. And there's some people right now that hate Israel. And folks, God loves Israel. And there's some people that say Israel is no more. God says Israel will be again, and that they will be restored. And so let's see what Haggai saw. Haggai, again, there's a lot of things you got to kind of dig a little deeper to understand. But Zerubbabel was the leader, and it's a reference to the nation of Israel. Zechariah. Okay, so once again, no more utter destruction. So that takes us past 160 some odd AD, because that's when the Romans plowed over the city with a yoke of oxen. And so we know that that's a future event, all right? Mrs. Schaefer, Malachi. And once again, you need to get into the context to see it more clearly, but it's talking about the nation of Israel. So, I have all these Old Testament prophets that have seen a restoration of Israel. Just icing on the cake. And we've seen it already before, but I'll read it to you again. Romans 11, 1 and 2. He says, I say then, this is Paul speaking to the Romans, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham. That kind of defines who his people are. Of the tribe of Benjamin. He's worrying about heritage here and heredity. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith? And then in verse 26 he says, so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And then John in the Revelation chapter 21, he says, it had a great wall, great and high, and had 12 gates, talking about the New Jerusalem. And at the gates, 12 angels, names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Why on earth would the eternal city in heaven have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel if God's done with them? That's ridiculous. And then Moses in Deuteronomy 33, this is a prophecy here. He says, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine, and his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who's like unto thee? O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Sounds to me like a whole lot of fellows in the Old Testament that were called prophets, that were called seers, that are recorded in the Word of God, that knew things because God showed them, saw Israel restored. And if you just go to one of them, Isaiah, I taught Isaiah one time in Bible Institute. Whew, I had no idea how difficult it was going to be. Isaiah is a fellow that he just jumps back and forth and back and forth. He'll see something and he'll go back and look at something 2,000 years ago. And then he'll look at something in the future and look at something, and he goes back and forth again and again and again and again. He talks about God restoring Israel. Folks, God's going to restore Israel. And it's not talking about replacing Israel with the church. We are not covenant theologians, which is a misnomer. The covenant that God has with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is still a good covenant. And they don't believe that covenant. They have a different covenant. We are not Protestants. We did not come out of the Catholic Church, which denies Israel. We are not allegorical interpreters. We don't take the Bible and make it mean something it doesn't say. We believe it means what it says and says what it means. Amen? And we are not what's called a preterist. And if you have never heard of that or never met one of these people, good for you. Sheesh. They are hard-headed and they will not listen to reason. And when I would go to the book of the Revelation, and it says Christ will reign for 1,000 years. Amen. 1,000. What is 1,000? Have we got 1,000 chairs in here? No. 1,000, you count 1, 2, 3, 4 until you get to 1,000, right? He says, well, that word 1,000 doesn't mean 1,000. And I sat down with one. It's a Greek word, and I can't remember the word now. It's got something to do with chelist. And it says that there's going to be 1,000 years. And I stacked up. I had a whole bunch of Greek lexicons, which are two language dictionaries. It's got the Greek word and English definition. And this fellow says, well, that Greek word doesn't mean 1,000. I said, let's see. I had 10 or 12 different books. And I read the book. Well, this one says it means 1,000 set on the floor. This one says it means 1,000 stack it on top of that. This one says it means 1,000 stack it on top. I had a stack of books about 18 inches, 2 feet high. I looked the guy in the eye and I said, now, let me ask you a question. Do you think I should believe you or this? Oh, that's wrong. Now, when you present plain facts out of the Bible to somebody, they won't listen to them. Pray for them. Amen? Okay, folks, we've got to believe the Bible, right? That's why we are Baptists. I wish Tim Thompson was here. The foundation of the vast majority of theology is what you'd think of as a bed of sand. It omits the plain revelations of God through prophecy. And those plain revelations are not to be rejected. The foundation, the sand foundation is. If you don't understand prophecy, you can't understand the Bible. Because if you don't understand that Israel's a center of prophecy, everything in the Bible, you're going to have to make it allegorical. You're going to have to change the meaning of it. So if I was to take that judge, and I remember the day that judge came to the verdict on that lady in that car wreck, and the judge sat there, and he went through the evidence, and he did it out loud. It took him about 5 minutes to tell us everything he had heard, no witnesses, and the judge finally said she was guilty, and they fined her $500, and court costs were, or the attorney had cost her four times that. So, but if there had been a dozen witnesses that saw what happened, the case would have either been dismissed or they would have said not guilty. Folks, I got witnesses. Israel is going to be restored. If you don't remember anything else from this class, remember this. When the Bible says Israel, it means Israel. You and I are not Israel. We are Gentiles. We have got a good situation because we are church, and that's great, and there's a lot about church too, but we're not one of the 12 tribes of Israel. We're not part of those 12 tribes of Israel. Have any of you had your DNA tested to see where you came from? Yesterday I got an email. I have some more DNA relatives. My sister found me. I was adopted. I had no idea who my parents were, and then my sister found me a couple of years ago, and so I was looking yesterday, and turns out I have some Irish in me. Uh-oh. Yeah, Brother Mark's happy about that, huh? But anyway, I don't have any Israel in me. I am a Gentile. A barbarian saved by grace. Amen? Let's all stand and be dismissed.